What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with my favorite episodes every single week where we get to talk to short-term rental investors willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly, the boots on the ground, really life experiences of investing into this game. We've got a repeat guest with us today, Mr. Brian Amps, joining us from Ohio. Brian, thanks for joining me again.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing awesome. And so we're going to, I still want you to give us a little bit of an introduction for those that didn't hear your first episode, but you know, where you're from, what pays the bills, what got you into short-term rental investing. And then as we dive into that and we talk about, you know, your portfolio a little bit, I want to talk about, you know, really what you're seeing on the ground really happening in these markets. We talk a lot about national trends and some things that were going on, but we'll, before we start there, let's start with the backstory. Tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what got you into short-term rentals and a little bit about the portfolio.
All right. I'm Brian Empsch from Columbus, Ohio. I've been doing short-term rentals for about 4 years now. Started with Vodacy very early on with them. I'd been a kind of worked for myself for many years and then went back into the corporate world and decided I needed to do something for myself again. And so my wife and I got into short-term rentals. We saw one of your ads on Facebook. I'm like, oh, that sounds like it could be fun. So done it. And we've got three properties now in Hocking Hills. And my real job is in IT.
Nice. And so Hocking Hills over the last 4 years, yeah, you're one of our OGs in the Vodacy community and really watched this, you know, part of it for you guys, if you watched the kind of the changes in the market and what's gone on in the actual short-term rental market, probably right, you know, right when you guys were jumping in, it was still very much kind of the shining star of short-term of the hospitality world, the shining star of real estate investing. And you've seen it slow down, interest rates go up, different things change. And those are some of the things I wanted to talk about today is kind of some of the changes and the trends that you've seen. And maybe let's start with, you know, like I always say, you know, it, as much as the game has changed, the consumer has still spent, like they want to spend money in this game. They want to go visit these properties. And so have you seen first, before we start, like what, you know, in your specific market, have you seen any slowdown in consumer demand?
For our properties, not this year. I know a lot of people that I talk with have seen a slowdown. It's, you know, two of our properties are actually up over last year. One is down a bit, but it had a stellar year. So I wasn't expecting it to come in as strong as it did. It was our newest property. But it's still extremely strong and very happy with the results on it. And with the three properties overall, we're up year over year. I know that some of the my friends in the area are down a bit and they've ask me how I was doing. And I was like, they were going to complain. And I was like, we're actually up a little bit. He's like, well, we need to talk with you, Brian.
Right. So, you almost feel guilty a little bit. We're actually doing pretty good. You know, it's interesting. I'm glad we started here because it is sometimes a tale of two different worlds in the short-term rental market. The last year and a half, 2 years, I felt like I really started to see that last year in a lot of markets is those conversations of where we talk to Vodacy family members who are doing really well, but they're talking to their neighbors and their friends in the market. And they're saying, you know, I'm not doing as good. Like I'm down, you know, what's going on. And we've seen a lot of supply growth over the last few years. You've seen it in your market, right? Over the last four years, you've seen it firsthand. And that's across the board is the supply has really caught up with demand. Demand is still there. It's up to us to be able to figure out how we get our unfair share of business. We talk about that all the time. And and it's not just for talking points. It is, there are things that you have to do to be able to go make sure that your properties still perform when the consumer's spending money, but they have a lot more choices. And I think that's where a lot of these people in the middle of the market with really nice properties most of the time, like your friends that you're talking to probably have really nice properties, good areas. And, but they've become a commodity anymore. And so maybe speak to that a little bit. Is that something that you're seeing specifically in that Hocking Hills market where nice properties are still struggling a little bit because there's a lot more nice properties to compete with?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think a lot of it is amenities that you have to offer. We've really tried to keep up with that, adding, saunas and things like that at properties just to keep them fresh. A lot of the, over the years, as you said, you started back, I've been here for a while, a lot of the properties that came on were just people, oh, this is easy money. Bam, they put something up and it was a really bad property. Most of those have shut down. They're gone. And so, but what has come in is, like you said, is just some really stellar properties, brand new builds, very modern stuff. And, we compete against a lot of those, but at the same time, some people are really looking for a cabin too. They don't want one of these modern looking things. So we try to keep modern on our cabins, which I think helps. My wife does all the decorating and does a fantastic job with kind of bringing in some mid-century modern and retro looks that stand out in the market quite a bit, just because everybody decorates their cabins the same. So, that's one of the big differentiators that I feel that we have.
You mentioned a couple things, and one of them was the amenities, right? We're going to make sure that we're upgrading and paying attention to the target audience and what maybe, really amenitizing these properties. But you can only amenitize so much, where you can only add so many amenities, right? And so then it's a matter of, and you hit what I think is overlooked by so many people is, how can I differentiate? How can I have a different design than what everybody else is doing? You said every cabin kind of decorates the same way. That is, in my opinion, one of the biggest mistakes people are making is they're not able to show the consumer how they're different. Consumers just want to see different. If like we want to see, like we justify paying more money for something that is different. And sometimes all you have to be is different. It doesn't have to even be better sometimes. And now we want it to be better. We want it to be great, but we want it more than anything to be unique, different, and then feel personalized to our target audience, right? And saying, hey, listen, we're going to lean into this very intentionally when it comes to the design side. And though there's multiple ways to do that, there's multiple different ways that you can do that, but you instinctively realized, hey, listen, this is everybody does a cabin and designs and furnishes a cabin the same way, rather than lean into that. Not that it's not nice, not that it doesn't look great, but everybody looks the same. We need to look different. So we went and you, like you said, you went the mid-century modern route, and it's a little bit different in that market. And most people aren't doing that. And so it's like, okay, now the consumer's like, hey, I can see that Brian's houses are different, and I can see they're priced a little bit higher. They got some nice amenities. Must be better, right? And sometimes if you have a higher price and you're different, the consumer automatically thinks you're better. And they want to be there. And so it's very interesting when we break this stuff down, and I love having these conversations. I love that it went here right out of the gate. Is what, like, first we're having conversations with our friends and neighbors, and they're saying, hey, we're not booked. What are you doing? And I need to talk to you. But when you look at it, you're saying, okay, we just did a little thing that makes us different, and it actually helps us stand out that much more in these markets, right? That's we're seeing that across the board. Like, I feel like that you're seeing that boots on the ground, real life in your market as well.
And one of the things that I know that we do differently than many properties is our kitchens. We really go all out, make them, and they're all like retro appliances, really cool different cabinet colors, tons of high-end, and they're all high-end. And every other just about cabin in our area is stainless steel everywhere. It's just, and those kitchens with the retro appliances, and we get so many compliments on the kitchens. And when you have, especially at our bigger cabins, people want to cook there, so we get, well, that's one of the biggest things we get compliments on is our kitchens, what's in them, our grills. I have, huge Blackstones, pellet smokers at both of our big properties, and those are amenities that just stand out. The pellet smokers especially, people have loved those.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you've really thought about, okay, how are we going to make sure that we have the great amenities? It stands out, it's different. We're giving the consumer a reason to pay more, obviously, to book our properties as well. And then, like you said, your properties continue to go up year over year, and the portfolio continues to grow. When the demand grows, even though supply is going up, we're like, hey, listen, I don't need to worry about that because I'm not really competing with everybody that looks the same. I'm competing in my own market. I'm competing in my own category because I've created my own category. So talk to me a little bit about some of the other trends that we're kind of seeing. We've talked about shortening lead times. I know you manage mm-hmm. your own property, so you're mm-hmm. in charge of your own kind of revenue management and all that stuff. You know, one of the things that we're seeing as a trend across the board, I'm curious if you're seeing it in your specific market of Hocking Hills, is are you seeing lead time shorten? Are your properties still getting booked out further in advance? Like, are you seeing the same national trends in that market where people are booking more last minute?
So our two-person cabin, we've got a lot of like really close to the date booking, especially weekdays this year. It was kind of looking like, oh man, this is going to be worse than last year for a while. And then all of a sudden it's just these last minute bookings come in, like, especially at a two-person one, somebody can say, hey, I feel like getting away, you know, and it, like 2 days before it gets booked. So that one definitely shorter. Yeah. Our 14-person cabin, it booked pretty far out again. Getting to the point now, though, where it is the August and September dates, there's still some openings. So and everything has filled in. You know, we had a couple of open weekends, which was extremely rare, that booked 3 days before, you know, that weekend this year, which never happened in the past. And that's what I've talked to a lot of other people down there, too. They're like, oh, my gosh, we have our first open weekend in 4 years. You know, and we still have not had that occur except in like February and stuff, where it's, you know, that's kind of our right. downtime. But lead times, our other one, we actually just finally left Evolve on our first property about 4 months ago. So that one's, you know, we're still kind of trying to get some traction on it. We're starting to get some bookings come in. So I can't really say lead times on that one yet, how that's going to go. It's very short right now for it, but it is starting to book, which is good without lowering the price too terribly much.
Yeah. How about, like, I know you're a strategy guy and you're looking at a lot of those different things. As that has changed a little bit, I'm curious if you're in agreement with me on not having those last minute discounts. Like, I always talk to people about saying, mm-hmm. hey, listen, if lead times have gone down that far and people are booking some of these properties, you know, the week before, mm-hmm. like, there's no reason to have discounts 30 days out because you're just leaving right. a bunch of money on the table. I'm curious if you've implemented that, or if you had those booking discounts with shorter lead times in the past anyways.
We have, and we'll do it during the week, especially in the summer. Weekends, we typically won't discount. The prices will come down with Price Labs, of course, but we're not discounting on top of what we have set up in Price Labs, except during the week sometimes, just because we're in such a strong weekend area. That's where most of our revenue is made. If we can get bookings during the week, that's, you know, some extra, you know, a little extra revenue there, which is nice.
Right. Right. And so, okay, I'm going to, as we have these conversations, apologies in advance, because everything you said, I kind of break down, right? I'm like, okay, yeah. I want to go a layer or two different, because there's things that I think that are very important that people don't pay attention to on the revenue management side. You mentioned it's a weekend market and we're not mm-hmm. discounting weekends, but we might discount weekdays. That yep. is something that a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people, and we look at it and say, hey, this is a weekend market. You make your money on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So we need to maximize our revenue in the weekends, not really try to, like, we're okay getting some extra revenue during the weekdays. We want to get those weekdays, but really our focus is maximizing revenue on the weekends. You mentioned yep. you don't discount on the weekends. I'm curious, mm-hmm. are you also hopefully pushing the prices on those weekends?
Oh yeah. The prices are from Price Life, especially in the summer, you know, they're sometimes four times more expensive a night than a weeknight would be. Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, one night, if you wanted to come during the week, you could probably stay for three nights of what one night would be on a weekend. So, you know, our prices are very, very different on the weekends versus weekdays.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because I look and analyze properties all the time, and I look at properties and I'm like, okay, this is a weekend market and you've got a 10% difference between weekday and weekend. And it's like, usually that delta needs to be significantly different. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I'm booked every weekend. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Cause you booked it at weekday pricing and you really, you're not going to maximize your revenue by trying to capture those weekdays where not that many people are coming. You're going to maximize your revenue by creating or getting more money for the weekdays that everybody wants to be there, right? And so I love to hear that you guys have that big of a delta, especially during the peak season where it's 3-4 times as much as a weekday, because that's revenue management. It's understanding the game you're playing. And those of you that are listening, if you're in a weekend market, look at your pricing, and there should probably be a pretty decent delta between the two weekday, weekend pricing. And those are all rules you set inside of Price Labs. You mentioned Price Labs a couple times. I think that one of the mistakes that people make when they use those price optimization tools, we're a big fan of Price Labs, Wheelhouse, Beyond Pricing are also other options that people have. But those are more distribution tools on distributing the prices to the OTAs and to the consumer based on the rules that we set, right? If you're just going to set it and forget it, plug it into your property and be like, yeah, Price Labs decides everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake too. How much and how often are you setting those rules? Like you've got your strategy that I'm sure you're putting inside of Price Labs to distribute that, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I check it typically weekly. I'll check it against my comps that I have in there, see what they're doing. I've had a hard time finding comps right now because most of the ones we're competing with somehow, which is amazing to me, all have like indoor pools and we're at the same revenue as them. And I'm like, how? I'm like, it just is, it's mind boggling to me that I'm putting that in as a comp just because the other ones aren't even close on the revenue on our.
Just because they're priced.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But our price is about the same as theirs and they've got pools and we don't. So, it's just, I think it goes back to a lot of just when you look at the property, the pool looks cool, but the photos kind of stink. The inside looks like every other cabin. So unless if you're not specifically looking for a pool, then we're going to stand out a lot more, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Just adjusting weekly based on the market and whatnot in Price Labs, looking at all the data in there. And I really haven't made a lot of adjustments this summer. So.
Yeah, once you set the strategy, you don't really need to make a ton, right? Once the rules are set, strategies in there and what we're going to be doing and how everything's going to operate, you don't really need to do a whole lot, right? But you need to dial in the right strategy. Your point about the homes that you're competing with the pools, you're like, man, how are we competing with this? They've got a pool, they've got a lot more, that's a massive amenity that we don't have. But I always say this is a game of 100 golden BBs, not one silver bullet. They're thinking, hey, I've got the pool, one silver bullet. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to worry about revenue management. Right. I don't need to worry about the inside. I don't need to worry about differentiating. And the consumer is saying, yeah, you do. Otherwise, you're kind of wasting that one amenity. However, it is kind of helping them because if they didn't have that amenity, they'd probably be, way below the other comps that you're like, I can't even pull these as comps because they're not even close to the revenue that I'm making.
Yep.
But if they went and did that stuff, ultimately they would, probably, they're going to, who knows how much money they're leaving on the table, right?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fun to have one of those properties and sprinkle all the other things on it, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I look at them. I'm like, oh, my gosh, if they just put another, $30,000 in this property, they probably could double their nightly rate to like $4,000 or $5,000 a night on a weekend with that pool.
Yeah, it's shocking to me how much money people leave on the table with really good properties. Mm-hmm. And we look at this on the acquisition side all the time right now when we're buying properties, because there's properties that are like, man, this is a really nice property, a really nice area, and it's just underperforming because they're not doing and dialing in the details, right? They're not paying attention to the things that they need to do. And you're like, man, they don't really have to do a whole lot more to the property. We need to do a few things, but then ultimately really, make sure that it's delivered and managed correctly to the consumer, and you're going to make way more money. And it's crazy how much is available on the market like that. You guys that are listening, we always post those. Again, go check them out. The Success Leaves Clues. Those of you that are listening, we know how valuable your time is, and we appreciate you spending it with us. It means a lot. If you get any value out of this show, you guys know I ask you at the end of every single episode, two favors. One of them, like it, review it, whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things help us. We don't run sponsorships or ads, so you don't have to listen to a whole bunch of ads interrupting this conversation. But the only way it grows is organically, and that's if you guys share it. If you don't have anybody to share it with, just like it or review it, and those algorithms will share it with other people pretty close to what you are. Those algorithms are a little scary. They know exactly who's out there listening. And so those things help us a lot. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode is to pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.